The journey has officially begun to make a lawn out of whatever it is that's surrounding my house right now, which is definitely not a lawn. In this first episode, Chris from Teed and Brown and I get into what it's going to take throughout the spring and the summer to get my lawn looking great, what's wrong with it at the moment, what we need to do for treating it and seeding it and watering it. Chris also has some really funny stories in episode one, and also some tips for you to make your lawn look great to make all your neighbors jealous. So let's get into it. Hi, I'm Kevin Begley from Star 99.9, and this is Making of a Lawn, presented by Teed and Brown. All right, here we are. It's episode one of Making of a Lawn, our podcast that is presented by Teed and Brown. It's Kevin Begley from Star 99.9, and I am here with Chris Brown, right?
That's right. Yay, exciting.
I'm so excited.
Although I am the less talented, nicer one.
I was just going to say that. People must say that to you all the time. Yeah, you must get that constantly.
Well, real quickly, when everything went down, we don't need to rehash the specifics. I log onto Facebook the next day. I didn't realize what had happened, but all of a sudden I'm seeing everybody talk about what a jerk I am.
Right.
And yeah, I think I might have had a little panic attack trying to remember, holy cow, did I do something I didn't remember? But no, yeah.
I bet. When that news came out, you must have been like, come on. Yeah,
but to be fair, I had the name first.
Right. Okay? Yeah, you're older.
So I am older.
Older than, yeah. than the other Chris Brown.
Yeah.
All right, fantastic. So basically a little quick intro to this. So I moved into a new house last May. Mm-hmm. My wife and I, we just had a baby in December, and it was a new build. So it's on this lot where they tore down an old house and built two new houses. So we bought one of them, and there was basically no lawn. It was non-existent. So my big challenge, that was last May, so my big challenge this year is to have a lawn for July. So we're going to have a big party in July. Mm-hmm. So my idea was to bring in an expert because I know nothing about lawns or seeding or anything, really. So obviously that's what we're doing. So Teed and Brown, give us a little backstory about Teed and Brown, about the company, about yourself.
Sure, yeah. And you talk about being an expert, and this is one of the few areas I can actually confidently claim that I have some expertise.
Right.
And I literally have a degree in how to grow grass.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, it's a Bachelor of Science in Turf Grass Science, graduated from Penn State University.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you the year. It's been a few years.
I didn't even know that was something that you could get a degree in. That's great.
Yeah, it's news to most people. Most people with that degree are actually trained to run country clubs, golf courses, sports fields. So when you're watching a Yankees game or you're watching whoever your favorite team is, Red Sox game, sorry, I don't want to offend any.
I grew up in Massachusetts, so it is the Red Sox.
There you go. My son goes to Boston University.
Oh, there you go.
Looks right at Fenway Park. Every day, he's right there. But if you're watching the games, the grass always looks perfect.
Right.
That's because they have someone there who's got that degree, plus a whole bunch of training on top of that. So I left school, realized that I didn't want to work either in sports fields or in golf courses, although I had some experience in both.
Yeah.
And decided, okay, well, I've got this degree in how to grow grass. What do I do with this? And so decided to start up a lawn care business. So I partnered up with Peter Teed, who's my partner, and he had a ton of hands-on experience in the home lawn care business. And the way I explained it to people is it was sort of the perfect marriage of street smarts and book smarts.
Yeah.
And that's where we've been since then. So that's how the business started back in 1995.
Oh, wow.
So it's been quite a ride since then.
Now most of your business is in the state of Connecticut, or is it outside of Connecticut, or is it both?
It's mostly in the state of Connecticut. We do have quite a few clients in areas of New York.
Oh, that makes sense.
Westchester County.
Yep.
Some other areas a little bit north of there.
Yep.
So, but mostly Connecticut, yeah.
Yeah. So we did a video. You might have seen the video that's up already. Mm-hmm. So we put up a video where we actually went to my house, went to my lawn, and tried to figure out, you know, what was actually wrong with my lawn. So what was your first reaction, you know, when we did that? What was, you know, just walking up off the driveway and seeing what I had or lack thereof a lawn?
Yeah, when we first got out of the car, I was a little bit optimistic. I was hoping that what we were going to be looking at is just normal winter dormancy.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's something that you just see on most lawns. You know, they got this brown color, this off color.
Yeah.
Not really, not so much brown as straw color.
Yeah.
And then I got down and looked a little closer, and no, that's not really what most of it was. It was dead crabgrass.
Which I'm sure is what a lot of people have, and they just don't realize it, maybe. So they just think that their grass died, and then they don't realize that it's that bad, that it's just all the dead crabgrass.
Oh, yeah. I see it all the time.
Yeah.
It's very common. The problem is, and this is what we're going to be facing, this is the big challenge
right.
on your property. This yeah. is, I'm a little excited about it, but a little bit nervous about it as well. Not that I haven't gone through this before, but
right.
the problem is that to stop the crabgrass cycle, okay, it's a cycle.
Yeah.
It grows in the heat of the summer, it produces a whole bunch of seed,
yep.
and it drops the seed in the fall as the weather starts cooling down, and then the first frost, it completely dies. Then the next year, weather warms up. All the old crabgrass plants are dead.
Right.
But when the soil starts warming up again, that seed starts growing and you get a whole new crop of crabgrass.
And then
plants.
The cycle just continues.
And the cycle
right?
just continues, exactly. Yeah. So the time to really stop it is early fall.
Okay.
So we're talking sort of early September.
Right.
If you can get rid of the crabgrass, kill it off with something, there's lots of different products available out there that are very safe and user friendly.
Yeah.
Kill it off, then you go in and seed the daylights out of the lawn
yeah.
with something really good
yep.
for your property. Then grow in the lawn and you've got something really nice by the end of the fall. And then come spring, that's what you're working with. You're working with a decent established lawn that you can fertilize, get it to fill in a little bit more, and put down a crabgrass preventer.
Right.
And the crabgrass preventer works by killing seed.
Okay.
Okay. So now you see the problem. We're
yeah. I was just going to say that seems like a problem if you don't want to kill your actual grass seed.
Exactly. So if you're doing a lot of seeding in the springtime, you can't put down the crabgrass preventer.
Right. You got to wait. Yeah.
So if you have a whole lawn full of crabgrass one year and then you think, ugh, this looks awful. Next spring, I'm going to deal with this.
Yeah.
No. Deal with it in the fall. Get it under control in the fall. Then next spring, you'll be in great shape starting off. Yeah.
Because that's true. I bet a lot of people must think as they head into the fall, oh, the winter's coming. I don't have to deal with it now. It's just going to die anyway. But you're saying that's the time when you actually have to deal with it.
Fall is the best time to build a great lawn.
Yeah.
Spring seems like the time to do it, but it really isn't.
Yeah.
Because really the main problem is crabgrass, weeds, all these things are growing really aggressively in the spring. So if you're trying to grow grass, you're competing with all those things.
Right.
And it becomes a real battle. Whereas in the fall, those things are really not competing all that much. They're not trying to grow.
Right. Now, we've started treating my lawn already. So can you talk a little bit about that, about the initial steps of treating a lawn like I had, or the crabgrass lawn that I had?
Yeah, it was dead crabgrass and a lot of weeds, a lot of clover, a lot of chickweed. So what we did is seeded it really heavily. So have you been keeping up with the watering?
I have a little bit. I've been trying to. Any advice with the watering?
Yeah, well, I know it's a complete pain if you don't have an automatic in-ground sprinkler system. So.
Right, which I know.
You can design, and I did explain to you how to do this, design your own irrigation system,
put
together parts. It's going to take a few hours on a Saturday to pull this together.
Right.
But I'm going to throw out a little opportunity for you here, or another option that you can take if you'd like.
All right, yeah, definitely.
And that is you can make your lawn more of a scientific experiment. You can have a control group and a study group. And what I'm going to say is if you can't or don't want to or just don't have the willpower to water your entire property, then pick the most important parts and go ahead and make sure those get watered.
So I would think like my front yard, like right in front of my house or, right where the grill and the patio is. So just pick those spots that I really want to look good.
Exactly. Pick the spots that you're really keen on looking really good.
Yep.
Water those. And then that way you can really sit back and see the difference between the areas that you're watering and then the areas that you're not watering.
Oh, that's a good point, actually. And there is a part of the lawn that's like set back in the corner that I could use as the non, watering part.
Exactly. And then you save yourself some water, save yourself some time and energy. So I'm giving you that option. That's on you. You get to decide whether or not you want to have good versus bad parts of the lawn.
Right. I'll talk to my wife about it. But but I think I would like to do that. That sounds fun.
We seeded the lawn really well and with enough water and one other ingredient here that you can't control, and that is the soil temperatures.
Oh, okay.
Okay, it's going to start to grow. So
I'm
giving you a little hard time about the watering.
Yeah.
If you haven't been as good as you're claiming because you're feeling like you're at the principal's office here,
and
you don't want to get in too much trouble. Okay. If you haven't been watering as diligently as maybe you should, it's probably okay because the soil temperatures are still probably a little bit too cold.
Right.
So that might be why you haven't seen anything growing yet.
Okay.
And that's okay. part of what you have to wait for is just for the soil to warm up so that the grass seed starts growing.
That makes sense. Part of the process, yeah.
So what we're planning on doing here is trying to, we're in total growth mode right now. We fertilize, we put down the grass seed, you're watering, we're waiting for that soil to warm up so everything really pops.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the water and the fertilizer we put down is also going to be feeding all those weeds.
Right.
No way around that.
Yeah.
But we just want to grow right now. And so we're growing everything. And then what we're going to do is come in and put something down to kill off the weeds selectively. With there's products that can do this without harming the grass.
Oh, that's good to know. So, and that makes sense. Just get everything growing and then go in later and try to sort it out.
Exactly.
One thing that we did talk about, if people have watched the video, they've seen my yard, that I don't have a lot of trees. So because it was a new lot, you know, they basically tore down all the trees. So there's all sunlight. Mm-hmm. There's essentially no shade, except for the shade from the house and the shadows and stuff. But is that something that's bad to have that much sunlight, or is it better to have some shade in your yard? You know, I'm sure people have all different situations at their house, but how does the sunlight affect the lawn?
Sure. Yeah. It's not necessarily bad. It's better than the alternative, which is too much shade. And then the grass just doesn't grow because it needs a certain amount of direct sunlight for photosynthesis.
Yeah.
That big word that you probably remember from
science class.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go. So the fact that you've got lots of sunlight is not necessarily a bad thing, but the downside to that is that your lawn will probably dry out much quicker because that sun is going to be baking and it's going to cause a lot of evaporation. And so the only problem you really run into with lots and lots of sunlight is that the grass will dry out very quickly.
Okay.
That can be good and it can be bad. The tough part is that if the soil doesn't really get enough water down into it, then the grass will, you know, start to dry out.
Right.
The problem, like, let's say we get a good rain, okay?
Yep.
Then the clouds go by, sun comes out, starts baking, okay? You've got the water, it sat there on the surface, some of it soaked down into the soil, but now the sun's out, and a lot of that's going to evaporate back off again before it really gets down into the root zone. So we got some rain, and you're thinking, hey, that's great, the lawn's going to have enough water for the next week.
Yep.
Well, maybe it's only got enough for the next 2 days or so.
That's true.
But if you had a certain amount of mix of sun and shade on the yard, then some of that shade might have kept the sun off and allowed the water to soak in a little better.
Yeah.
So really the ideal scenario that we see is a nice blend between sun and shade.
Right.
With about 8 hours of direct sunlight on the lawn per day.
Right.
6 to 8 hours, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And then the grass tends to do well. When it gets 8 or more hours, then it starts, you run into some of those problems.
Yeah.
But again, you're better off with lots of sun versus not enough.
Yeah. Now, do you ever see that, you know, do the seasons change everybody's lawn? So, like, if there's a spring that has a ton of rain or a summer that is very dry, like, does that affect sort of everybody? Like, do you see that happen a lot where, you know, everyone has a horrible lawn because of the weather? You just can't, or is it just how those individuals keep up with it?
It's a combination of both, but yeah, absolutely. We see a lot of times when the weather gets really harsh.
Yeah.
Then pretty much every lawn's going to suffer.
Right.
But you always have that one pain in the neck down at the end of the street.
It's so true.
Who somehow has that perfect lawn all the
every
time.
Every neighborhood has it.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy next to me, I meant to point this out when we were doing the video. He has, I don't know how, I don't know if it's fake, if it's sod, I don't know what is happening. But last spring and summer, I'd be out there mowing the lawn, my crabgrass lawn, and there's this guy with this perfect lawn. It didn't make any sense.
Well, and that's going to be a combination of putting the right ingredients in, doing the right kind of fertilizer, starting off with the right lawn. But this is where my degree really kind of comes in, and this is where it gets a little I've got, believe it or not, I think it's around 20 credits of soil science class. Classes on soils. Okay.
Mine was just on microphones and talking on the radio.
And what happens is in those lawns, if you were able to sort of excavate and say, hey, what's going on here? Why is this different from yours?
Yeah.
Now, if you just stand there and look at the two properties, you don't see that much difference. But if you get down, chances are pretty good that he's got a really good soil base underneath.
Right.
That's helping tremendously. There's also other things that are sometimes difficult to really figure out just by looking at it. So, for example, the air circulation in the area, the amount of sunlight. It might look to you like your property is getting the same amount of sunlight as his, when in reality, yours is getting quite a bit more, quite a bit less.
Oh, okay.
And that's affecting it in one way or another.
So even if it's right next to it, it could be, just a different sunlight distribution type thing.
Yeah. There could be a tree on the neighbor's yard on the other side of him that's actually giving him just enough shade to kind of cool things off and right. allow the water to soak in a little bit better, but you're not getting that benefit.
Yeah.
But it's kind of hard to notice that unless you're standing out there and measuring the sunlight every yeah. day.
Now what's the biggest, so I'm sure this happens to you all the time where you're driving through a neighborhood or you're over someone's house for a cookout. Do you find yourself constantly critiquing people's or seeing like, what kind of grass is that? What is this? It must happen to you all the time.
I've tried to get better. I'm very often, you know, in a squatting position with my hands down on the ground, pulling yep. blades of grass out and trying to figure out what's going on.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty common. In fact, on my honeymoon, my wife and I were down in the Bahamas. This was, again, many moons ago. But we were taking a walk through a neighborhood.
Yeah.
And really nice neighborhood. And I'm looking at the grasses. Now, here's the thing. Grasses down south are different from what we use up here. So if you're down in Florida, I don't know if you've ever walked around on a lawn in Florida with bare feet. It almost feels like razor blades.
I mean, it's real. Yeah, it's almost sharp. Yeah, yeah. It's stiff.
Really, really strong stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's usually St. Augustine grass,
okay.
which is something you would never see up here.
Right.
They also have things like zoysia grass, Bermuda grass, Bahia grass.
Just because of the weather, how it's... Yeah.
Yeah, those things just love that heat.
Yep.
Okay. And so that's what you've got down there. Whereas if you were to plant the Kentucky bluegrasses and perennial rye grasses that we use up here, plant those down in Florida, they're just not going to survive.
Right.
They can't handle that really intense summer heat. So we're down there in the Bahamas.
Yep.
And I knew it was obviously going to be a southern type of grass species, but I wasn't quite sure what it is, and I got really curious, and so I'm looking at this lawn, and I'm thinking, wow, this lawn looks pretty good. What is this? It doesn't look like St. Augustine grass, so I knew that much. So I got down, and I'm kind of picking it apart and pulling it out. And
your wife's like, we're on our honeymoon.
Yeah, exactly. Let me tell you, the eye rolling at that moment was palpable.
Oh, sure.
Finally, I figured out it was crabgrass.
What, really?
Yeah, it was a crabgrass.
It just looked
lawn.
Good.
It looked good because the whole lawn was 100% solid crabgrass.
Wow, that's interesting.
And down there, it never gets freezing, which is the problem with crabgrass is when it gets freezing, first frost, the crabgrass plant dies.
Okay, so that's why it looks so brown and gross up here around, you know, springtime.
Exactly. It's just those plants are dead. Before they die, they put up about, I think it's around 50,000 seed per plant.
Wow.
That ends up blowing around and then sort of reseeding itself, and then the grass dies in the winter, and then the next year the seed gets growing again.
So somewhere like that, it just never dies?
It just never dies.
It just grows all the time.
So it looks great. And
that's crazy.
You know, it kind of makes you think about, okay, what's the definition of a weed? And you and I spoke about this at one point.
Yeah.
A weed is really just a plant in a place where you don't want it.
And that's that's true, yeah.
So if you have grass growing in your garden bed, it's a weed there.
Right.
But out in the lawn, it's not a weed.
Right.
One of the things we see in home lawns in some cases, I didn't see any in yours, but creeping bent grass is just a type of grass. It's typically used on golf courses for the greens and even the tees and fairways because you can mow it really short.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Not every grass species will tolerate that kind of super close mowing.
That's interesting. I've wondered that because I golf a lot, and I do wonder that all the time on the greens because it's so short, even though it looks like it's actually grass, but it's so short.
Yeah, they're mowing that at about an eighth of an inch.
Wow.
That's how low it is. And that's usually creeping bent grass. There's other types of grass that can be used for that, but it's this part of the country, it's almost always creeping bent grass.
Yeah.
But if you put that same grass in a lawn, it tends to create this sort of clumpy, patchy, pale green, not very nice looking appearance.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's now a weed.
Right.
So this is the stuff that you're paying big money for to go play on and put in your home lawn. It's a weed. You want to get rid of it.
Right.
You know, and it's all perception there. So the Bahamas story.
Yep.
Just kind of reminded me of the fact that, hey, weed is all our own perception of what we're looking at.
It really is. Yeah. Because if crabgrass looks good, then it's fine. Okay, so what's something, you know, when you're driving around in Connecticut, I'm sure you see lawns all the time that you're like, well, I know exactly what that person's doing wrong just by looking at the lawn. Is there an example of that you've seen recently?
Yeah, there's actually one property that comes to mind. It's a few streets away, but I drive by it all the time. It's near my house. And every spring, I see them rototilling the lawn and then replanting, reseeding
right.
the lawn, and then growing it in, and it looks great by, you know, early, midsummer.
Yeah, they're like, we're doing this right. This looks good.
Yeah, but then by the end of the summer, it's full of crabgrass, half dead, then fall comes. So really, they're just perpetuating this crabgrass cycle.
Every single year.
Every single year. And if they would just do it in September instead, 1 year.
Right.
Then they'd be on a great track, and they wouldn't have to keep doing this every
year. And what exactly would they have to do in September? They do the... the treatment, right? The
Yeah, you would kill off the crabgrass first, right, and then go through and seed. The way they seed every spring, just do it in
September instead. Seed it in September.
Yeah, seed it in September.
And that's good advice for everybody. I'm sure so many people who are listening to this podcast do that, mm-hmm, and they're like, I just got to wait. I just got to wait till September to do it.
That's it. Or if you want to do it this year, which is what we're going to do here.
Right.
We want to get something looking good for the summer.
Right.
But we're also aware of the fact that the lawn is probably going to take a downturn after that and not look all that great by the end of August.
True.
So I did warn you about that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, definitely. When we were doing the video, we were walking the lawn and you told me that. You're like, just to warn you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what we'll do then is come September, we'll reseed, get you on the right track,
yep,
get you a really nice lawn by the end of the fall. So next year you're starting off on a great foot.
Perfect. And so I think we mentioned this at the beginning of the podcast, but the whole goal here is we're going to put out episodes, you know, throughout the spring, throughout the summer, and I'm going to have a big party in July. So I'm going to have a bunch of people from work over. We're going to do a barbecue. And the big thing is that we didn't want the lawn to look absolutely terrible. So that's our big goal, is to have the lawn look great for that big barbecue that we're going to have. And you're invited too, if you'd like to come.
I will never say no to free food.
There you go. So yeah, so you can keep up with the video. We put up the video. You can already watch it. It's on the Star 99.9 Facebook and Instagram and the website, star999.com. And then this Making of a Lawn podcast, we're going to continue. So we're going to have updates every episode. So we're just going to, you know, go through all the things that go into making a lawn for July. And then even beyond that, you know, I'll be posting on my social media and everything, you know, all the updates. So episode two that's going to come out in a little bit is we're going to see how that application went. So we're going to see the results from that first application. We'll really dive into that.
Sounds great. I'm looking forward to that.
All right. So this has been episode one of Making of a Lawn podcast, presented by Teed and Brown. Chris Brown, thank you so much. This was fun.
I had a blast.
Yeah. And hopefully my lawn looks good by July. I think it will. I have confidence.
I'm confident as well. Yeah.
All right. We'll talk to you on the next episode.